As soon as I began to pray for this week, I just felt this in my spirit really heavily. I think the time that we're in right now, this word fits in a way that maybe it never has, or at least maybe in not a that way since I've been alive in my 37 years. But today I'm going to talk about unity. I'm going to talk about coming together with a common purpose to complete a mission. And sometimes we can come together, but we fail to come to a common purpose. And sometimes we see a common purpose, but we can't stay together long enough to complete a mission. You see what I'm saying? So this, I think this is an important word. I think it's important for us to get this in our spirits, to get a hold of this. And I pray that the Lord will just consume our hearts and minds with this morning. But I want to mention a few things that I think are key before we even get into this word of coming together, of staying together, of working together. And the number one thing is true love always finds expression in service. You could take that and you could run with it. True love always finds expression in service. I don't care if you're talking about agape love, phileo love, storge love, eros love. So it's family love, brotherly love, romantic love, the love of the Father. It all finds expression in service. So what that means is if you love God and His people, you will find a way to serve God and His people. Because love's always going to find expression in service. So we've said before, love is an action verb. There's always action to us. It's always going to find an expression in service somewhere. I love God. I love His people. I may not be good at what you're good at, but I'm good at what I'm good at, and so I'm going to serve God with that thing, those things, my skills, my abilities. Number two, the second thing I want to mention is we need to find a way to be mature enough to shift our focus from our rights to our responsibilities. Be mature enough to shift our focus from our rights to our responsibilities. You don't have to look or listen very far to hear somebody talking about their rights. Yeah. Right now in today's world, in today's climate, in today's church. But let me say this. You had, I had, we had no right to be sons and daughters. He made us sons and daughters. We had no right to be kings, priests, to rule and reign with Him. He gave us the right. But because He gave us rights, now we have responsibilities. Yeah. What that means is He made me a son. I have the responsibility to act like a son. Yeah. Yeah. He made me a king priest. I have the responsibility to act like a king priest. And if we just break it down to a more natural definition, rights are something that is owed to the people by the government. If we break it down on the level of a natural society, rights are something that is owed to the people by the government. Responsibilities are owed to the society by the people. Responsibilities are owed to the society by the people. What's that mean? That means that God made me a son. He made me a king priest in His kingdom. I owe it to the kingdom to be a king priest and to be a son. In fact, you could say it another way. The kingdom needs me to act like a son. Because the kingdom is the kingdom. The people in this town need you to be a son of God. The people in this town need you to be a daughter of God. The people in this region need you to act like a son. The people in this region need you to act like a daughter. I'm talking about victory and authority in the kingdom. You have a responsibility to walk in your authority. You have a responsibility to stand in your victory. Because I'll say this, you're going to look like something that is uncommon. Because the focus right now, the clamor right now, the loud noise right now is all about rights. We talk about being a light on a hill. We talk about not being able to be covered up. Sometimes it's just simply acting on my responsibilities. Because there's a lot of people that aren't. And there's a lot of people that don't want to. The focus is about my rights rather than what are my responsibilities. The third thing I'm going to say, and there's a quote, I think it was by Henry Ford, I believe. I've tweaked this a little bit, but it is, coming together in unity is a start. Staying together is a process. Working together brings success. So coming together is hard. Staying together is even harder. But the results of working together are worth it. So coming together is a start. Staying together is a process. Working together brings success. I think that's important for right now. And that's what we're going to dig into a little bit today. Is we're going to break those three down in a little bit more detail. Coming together, staying together, and working together. And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read out of the NLT. We just got a few verses if you all want to stand for the reading of the word this morning. Says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. And we're going to stop right there. Well, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I just ask this. I just ask that you would completely change our hearts and minds this morning in a way that we haven't experienced yet. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we come together united, and we are able to come together with one goal, and we are able to come together with one purpose, it ties us all together onto one mission. And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of times we can come together, but we're not able to stay together. And sometimes we come together, but we're not able to gain common purpose. And so a mission doesn't get accomplished. What we're talking about this morning is to be able to do all three, to be able to come together, to stay together, to work together so that we can accomplish a mission. And I'll say this, there are lots of missions, but everybody in here shares a mission. Because we are, this isn't even what I was going to say, but let's just go right here. I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. We share the fact that we've all been called by God to advance His kingdom. And so many times we struggle to come together on that. So it creates, so we come together and we get on this common path and we have a common mission. It creates a need. It creates a need for communication. It creates a need for cooperation. It creates a need for merging strengths. It creates a need for understanding weaknesses. So coming together creates a need. And we got to understand those things so that we can stay together, so that we can work together, so that we can accomplish a mission. And so What I love about, or what I feel about this message this morning, is this is kind of like a utility message, because this message is good for leadership. This message is good for ministry teams. This message is good for marriages. This message is good for friendships. Doesn't matter, just general relationships. It's, you know how you got like a utility player? They just play everything. It's like this message is for our life. It's for all these individual relationships and the things that we do, our workplace, if we're leaders, it doesn't matter if you're on a team. It's an important message for us. And I think if you're living in America right now, it's an important message for us. Now, I want to jump back in here real quick. And I'm going to jump down. It says, "For there is one body, one spirit, one glorious hope of the future, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is in all." Uses the word one 8 times in 6 verses. I think it was on purpose. I think for us, I think we have to understand that oneness and sameness are not the same thing. Oneness and sameness are two different things. Oneness is the quality, the state, or the fact of being one. Sameness is the quality, fact, or state of being the same. You can have one team, one group of people, and no two individuals are the same. One team, lots of people, with no two individuals are the same. We as people have a problem with that sometimes. Why don't you do it like I do? I want you to do it the same way that I do it. We put people in boxes, and we have a hard time understanding that maybe they can't do it that way. You can do it that way because that's how God made you. That's not how God made them. And so we get oneness and sameness confused. A marriage is two different people that become one. That's what the Word of God tells us. The two became one. They're two different people. They're two individuals. They become one. We are a body with many parts. And each part is valuable. And each part serves a purpose. At least that's what the Bible tells us. So we're one body with many parts, and each one is valuable, and each one serves a purpose. We have to appreciate the contribution of others in our life, in our marriage, in our relationships, in our teams. We have to appreciate the fact that they don't do it like us. I said, I appreciate the fact that Jonathan does the announcements. He's good at it, and I promise you, I am not. I don't feel like I'm bad at it, but to watch me is bad. I'm smiling, and I feel like my voice is elevated like it should be, and then you watch the announcements, and like, come to the thing, and I just look bored, and like, nobody would show up. They're like, if it's going to be like that, I'm not going. So, it's true, though. That's the way that it comes off. I don't mean for it to be that way. I try not to let it be that way. It just comes off that way. So, we're in the middle of football season. Who watches football every once in a while? Lots of people in here. So, they go out on the field. 11 individuals go out on the field. Let's say they're going out for offense, right? Understand that they all have the same goal. They all have the same purpose. Even if you don't watch football, you know that offense is trying to score a touchdown. That's their goal. That's their purpose. That's what they're trying to do when they go out there. But each one of them individually is significantly different. Each one of them, every single one of them, has different skill sets. They have different abilities. They have different alignments, They have different assignments. They have different techniques, and so on and so on. You can't ask a guard to be a quarterback. He doesn't have the skill set. He don't have the abilities, and you're not going to score a touchdown. The same thing is true in our marriages, in our relationships, in our leadership teams. Let's say it this way. Christ is the head of the husband. The husband is the head of the wife. That's just alignment. Doesn't change anybody's value. Doesn't change anybody's contribution. It's simply alignment. Have different alignments. But the value is the same. When I talk about not confusing or changing our focus from rights and responsibilities, we get real upset simply about alignment sometimes. I'm not in the position that I think I should be in. And so I'm going to infect the whole team with my attitude, and I'm going to become cancerous, and I'm going to bring a whole team down because of the way I feel simply about alignment. You got to understand that you are very much needed in every way that you can think of for that team to score the touchdown, for that team to reach the community, for that team to be successful. We say you got to work together and it brings success. And even though it's really hard to stay together sometimes, it brings success. Even though it's really hard to stay together sometimes, it's worth it. The results are worth it. And we get mad about, I don't have the ability that they have. You have the ability that you were given. It says, we just read that God gave you a calling. Live your life in such a way. Be worthy of the calling that you've been given. Don't worry about their calling. Your callings are supposed to come together so that you can do something bigger than yourself. Yes, sir. As soon as you start trying to get your defensive tackle to be the quarterback, things begin to unravel. When you start to insist on, when you start to try to force, when you try to make that happen, things begin to unravel. Things are the healthiest and the most powerful when people are able to come together, be themselves, operate in their strengths to accomplish a shared purpose. I don't want to tie it to anything specific this morning. It's not specific. It's everything in our daily lives. It fits everything in our daily lives. Things go downhill. Things fall apart when you start forcing somebody to do something they can't do. Because sometimes they can't do it. Literally. And we don't think about it that way, because I can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. That's a saying, right? Yeah. People say that all. If I can do it, anybody can. That's not true. Yes. That is not true. Amen. And when we try to insist on that, people will begin to run away. Yeah. Because we're insisting on, you're not good enough. You don't bring value to the team. You don't bring value to the relationship. Whatever you want to say, that's what they think in that moment. That's what they feel in that moment. They're saying that I have to do this and I can't do it. And so they're going to run away from it. That's what most people are going to do in that scenario. And so teams unravel, marriages fall apart because of these types of things. It makes it hard to stay together. We've talked about the coming together a little bit. Now we're talking about this is why it's hard to stay together. And now specifically with staying together, I think the two main ingredients our mutual conviction and commitment. And I'll say this, if you are in a leadership role in some area of your life, maybe what I'll say top three things that you have to have is a heavy dose of conviction. If you don't have a heavy dose of conviction, when things get hard, you're going to turn your back on it. If you've been in a leadership role, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you don't have conviction, you're not going to last. So when it comes to staying together, we have to have mutual conviction, which brings a mutual commitment that keeps that marriage together. Yeah. We're committed to it because of the conviction we have about it. And we're not going to let it come apart. We're not going to let it fall apart. We're committed to one another and the success, the staying together. We're going to work on it together, and we're going to make it successful. I'm not going to let this friendship fall apart just because I'm upset about something. I'm not going to let that happen. So mutual conviction and commitment. So what I'll say is, if you can show me some people that you don't think share your conviction, I will show you some people that are going to fall away when things get hard. So if they don't share that commitment to the friendship like you do, sometimes they're going to fall away. And sometimes you got to go to God and be able to handle that. Because here's the thing. And I know I'm teaching this morning. This isn't motivational, you know, rah, rah. You go out, you're feeling really good, and life's going to be good again. And I know that I'm teaching, but I think this is important right now.
Yeah, motivate me.
Well, that works then. But creating the sense, so you can create this wonderful, beautiful culture. You can create this thing that just, it's a beautiful picture, and everybody loves it. And you can create this beautiful environment and this awesome sense of belonging. And you can give people titles and you can do all that stuff. But all that kind of stuff only lasts so long. If they don't have the conviction you have, if they don't have the commitment you have, that stuff is only going to be pretty for a while. It's only going to look good for a while. That painting that you thought was beautiful, you'll begin to detest it. And then again, like I said, you will start to become cancerous. And you'll bring the whole thing down because of maybe it's the alignment. Maybe it's the assignment they gave you. But I don't know what it is, but it happens. Happens all the time. I gave some examples of what it might be. But it's the conviction and the commitment that's going to keep people together. We're talking about staying together. It's going to keep us together through the trials, through the tribulations, because they are going to come. Yeah. Jesus let us know that. Yeah. Happened to me, so it's going to happen to you. Say it simple. And so to stay together through the trials and the tribulations, that takes mutual conviction and commitment. Conviction causes you to stay together, to stay the course, to not compromise on the vision in order to fulfill your purpose and mission. You said we were coming together and staying together and working together for the common purpose to complete the mission. So let's go to working together. I think it's shared communication, collaboration, and contribution. As the many become one, it produces forward action and it produces results. But with communication, it's got to be able to go from the top down, and more importantly, it's got to be able to go from the bottom up. So, because everybody thinks of a hierarchical, that didn't come out right, ladder. My word didn't come out right. But you got to climb up the ladder, and we think of it that way. When I talk about from the bottom up, Christ is the head of the husband, and the husband's the head of the wife. And when she brings you her concerns, you take those same concerns to the top. Your wife needs prayer, you pray for her. Simple things like that come to me with a concern. I'm going to take it to the one that can fix any concern that we have. Come to me with a problem, I'll take it to the one that can fix any problem that we have. Because I don't have the ability to fix every problem that we're going to have. But if the communication goes all the way up. And then we have collaboration. We have to come together, work together. You have to help somebody along sometimes. You have to allow them to learn. You have to allow them to try it and not have it all right at first, but collaborate with them and bring them along so that their contribution still matters to the team. And let them know that it matters. So we read a quick scripture. What does all this teaching have to do? The apostles came together in the upper room. And because they came together, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with a power that had not been known yet. They stayed together through the persecutions and executions when everybody could have ran away. They continued to work together to advance the gospel, to spread through their whole known world, because of the shared conviction they had and the commitment they had to the man that they walked with. Well, I'm talking about coming together. It's really important. Because I feel like right now we could stand a heavy dose of a power we haven't known yet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I talk about staying together. I feel like we're in a moment where there's such division and lack of unity, and we're worried. I'm not going political. We're worried about a vaccine, and it ain't about the vaccine.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about we have the freedom to be here this morning.
Yes, sir.
And we're in a time right now where for our kids and grandchildren, that might not be the case. And if we can't get over ourselves enough, if we can't change our focus from rights to responsibilities, if we can't unite and stay together and work together, the freedoms that we have to come in here this morning might not remain. We run away from the trials and the tribulations and the things that we don't like. We forget about the mission. It's a whole lot bigger than what I feel like.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's a whole lot bigger than what I just simply like and don't like. I'm not sure that there's ever been a time in my life. Because, see, we've come together as a church. We've come together as a nation. You think of things like September 11th, 2001. We came together. We've come together about things that are happening and things that have happened. But I'm talking about stuff that is yet to come.
Say that.
I talked about a shared purpose. I talked about staying together and not compromising on the vision. We got to have enough vision to come together and unite on something that is yet to come.
Amen.
It's different right now in our society. I haven't felt it. I haven't seen it. It's different right now. I think it's important that we talk about coming together, uniting with a common purpose, being able to stay together so that we can accomplish a mission. And we have this problem where people across the nation, they go to churches because they love the concert-style worship music. They love the miracle moments. They love the motivational messages. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that at all. What I am saying is it's sometimes we forget about the mission. I'm going for the music, the worship. I'm going for the miracles. I'm going for the motivational messages, but not so much about the mission. I'm not going for the mission. You know, there's a few people right now that are missing the message for the mission. They're in those rooms over there. They're in these two rooms over here. There's some people that are missing the message for the mission. We lose track of that sometimes. I'm going for the things I need. I'm going for the things I like. But again, it's not just about that. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than us. There's next generations to worry about. There's things that have yet to come. I hate to use the word worry. Worrying nothing. But I'm saying there's things that we've got to shift our focus a little bit. We've got to stop worrying about our rights and the things that we have the right to do, the right to like, and think about our responsibilities and the responsibilities that we have to the people that are upcoming, to the next generations, to the people that are beside us, that need us. We have responsibilities in the kingdom because we didn't have a right to be a son, but he made us a son, and so I have the responsibility to be a son. I don't think there's a lot of this being talked about right now. You flip through the news, you scroll through social media, you're not seeing much about responsibilities. You're seeing a whole lot about rights. You're not seeing many people coming together, but you're seeing everybody fighting and being divided. It's not just political parties, it's literally long-standing relationships being torn apart. Long-standing relationships being torn apart. I hate seeing that. Because the thing that is dividing us isn't worth the relationship. Because we think that oneness and sameness are the same thing. You don't think about that the exact same way I do, and so we can't be friends. We can't have relationship because you don't feel about it the same way that I do. That does not change the fact that we can be one. You can have different opinions than me. You can have different thought processes that I do. You can have different perceptions about stuff than I do. And we may disagree on some things, but we can still be one. And so, I'm going to change the subject really quick because just sitting in here this morning during worship, I really felt like there's going to be a time of maybe a calling. I don't know what to call it. But there's been a time where the people that are like Apostle Peter have been disqualified for a really long time. Because I'm talking about oneness and sameness, and this is how you look and act. And all that. They've been disqualified because they're the guys and ladies that are rough around the edges, that are gruff, that are more like Peter maybe than John, that just that just lays on the breast of Jesus. And he's just, oh, we all just love each other so much. And Peter's at the door, drawing the sword, ready to fight some people to protect the people in the room. You see what I'm saying? And so it's interesting to me that people would look at a guy like that and say, you know, we don't really, maybe even to Jesus, like, we probably don't want to let Peter go on the trip with us, because I don't know how to say, he's going to run people off. And Jesus says, yeah, I know that. Look at that guy. That's a guy that I can build the foundation of the church on. We see one thing and he saw another. I mean, but think about that. I mean, you know, people were running away from Peter and Jesus is just looking at him like, there's a guy. Now, I want to establish this thing, and now there's a guy that I can establish it on. I just think that there's, and I don't even necessarily maybe mean just rough around the edges like that, but there's been some people that are disqualified where maybe that, those people are going to run those people off, and they just didn't, they didn't see where they fit in the body. And I feel like there's going to be a calling for those people. And it may not be into this place or a church or a building or anything like that, but I feel like there's a calling for those people into communities that are going to be willing to draw the sword, to stand up in the face of opposition for the people in the room, for the people in the community, for the people in the region. And I would say this, if you feel like you're one of those people this morning, then just grab a hold of it, put it in there, and just run with it. We got to close this morning. Let's go ahead and stand. I'll say this, if you came in here this morning and you haven't even united your life with Christ yet, if you would like to accept Christ in your heart this morning, if you want to receive salvation this morning, just ask that you go ahead and lift your hand up in the air this morning. Well, Father, I just come to you in prayer this morning, and not just me, united with this body of believers in this house today. Lord, I just ask for unity in the body. I ask not only for unity to come together, Lord, but I ask for the ability to stay together, for the resolve, for the conviction, for the commitment to stay together when things are hard, when things happen that we don't like, when things happen that we get upset, that we would have the resolve to stay together anyway, united to the purpose, united to the mission, united to your kingdom. Father, I ask that you would give us the wisdom and the understanding to work together in ways that we haven't thought about yet, so that we can accomplish and have successes that we haven't had yet. Yeah. Lord, I would ask that you would move upon each individual in here. Begin to show them where they fit. Begin to show them what their skill sets are. Show them what their abilities are. Show them their alignment. Show them their assignment. So, Father, again, this morning, we come to you asking for unity like we've never seen before. And not just for this place. It's bigger than us. It's your kingdom. Unity in the kingdom like we haven't seen before. A strength to stand against, to stand in our victory over the assault of the enemy. We praise you this morning. We love you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.